of animals, of no paved streets, just cobbles. I want you to think of people shouting for wares. I want you to be in a bazaar, or you've been in a souk, or you've been in the streets of Israel itself. And this is where Jesus was 2,000 years ago. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." In Psalm 18, if we were to read any of that, it's all about confidence in God and in God's eternal love. These words are so very important in your life and mine, especially as we live in the midst of a changing world. We don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen. From page one in Scripture, God has shown his eternal love towards all his creation. When we think about it, he promised right back there and then a promise of a Saviour who amazingly would be his own beloved son. Palm Sunday, celebrated in Christian churches throughout the world, might not be on the same day as us, because all the Orthodox, especially the Greeks, are about 6 days ahead or behind. I can never remember. But they do celebrate. And it's a great hymn. We've been singing Hosanna. It's a great hymn of praise throughout the world. And when we think about it, Jesus, our Saviour, on this day, made another one of those public appearances, but one that would reach the hearts of many people if it was only for a couple of days. And it would take him from being a lowly carpenter to give us a glimpse of the King sent by his Father God. God's great, if you like, promise. He promised all through the Old Testament. And now the promise was in person. Hallelujah. Although on the face of it, especially to us, we who know what would happen next, and not forgetting Jesus would know too what was in store. We've had that passage from the lovely Psalm 22, which is all about the crucifixion and the agony of Christ. And I believe that when Christ was riding through Jerusalem, he would know that that would be the end product, if you like, of what would happen to him. You know, in Psalm 18, it just says something else and all. And I thought about this when we're going through a tough time and things aren't really good. Verse 24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." To us, it seems a brief public recognition that, if you like, would give little or lasting impression. As we know, the hallelujahs of this day, Palm Sunday, would eventually, in a little way's time, they would be shouting, "Crucify him!" It was a brief moment in time, but it was in the plan of God and showed up the fickleness of man's heart. Christ puts his confidence in his Father's plan of salvation. We place our confidence, don't we, every day in our travel plans. Even coming to church this morning, you've either walked, or you've come on a bicycle, or you've come in a car. Anybody come on the train? No, I didn't think so.
On the bus.
On the bus, thank you. Because you see, when we were in Ashton, they didn't start till about 10:30, so it was no good for anybody to get to the church in Ashton. But yes, you're right, Linda, buses as well. We've all come in a different way, but we've come on the same road, if you understand, the same spiritual road. You know, even disabled people, myself included, has a scooter that you can trundle around on when there are no car parts for the car. Each and every day, we put our trust and confidence in either something or someone. I am willing to place my trust and confidence in someone, something. But am I willing this week to trust Almighty God for all the week? You know, when you think about it, we need him to guide us here on earth to our eternal destination. We can't keep putting him, you know, it's like sometimes it's like putting God in a box. We bring him out when we need him, and then when we don't, we put him back. And that's not being part of the family. Just think about it. If your family, if you just said, "Well, you can come in about 3 months' time and I'll see if I'll be in," that wouldn't be right. As soon as somebody says at my house, "Hiya, it's me," you let them in. And it's good no matter what time they come. You had a phone call in the middle of the morning, the early morning. You didn't hear it because you were fast asleep. Okay. But as soon as you knew who it was, you listened. Even at this moment of celebration, Christ knew that these people would reject him. Why? Because he was God incarnate. If any of you, like myself, who many, many years ago went to see the Passion Play at Ober Ammergau, it's a wonderful thing to behold. And the play opens with a scene. It's Christ's entry into Jerusalem. The stage, I've never seen a stage so big. It's outside. And we're sat inside in an auditorium. And Christ enters riding a donkey onto this great stage. And, you know, I've never been so moved as both that scene and the scene of the crucifixion. The shouts of joy, the palm branches, people throwing their clothes on the floor of the stage. They strew his way. Rejoice, they said, rejoice. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I shall never forget that scene. Half the time, we didn't know what they were saying because it's always in German. But we had a book so we could follow. But we didn't need it because the action was enough. But let's go back 2,000 years. Even in the midst of all this singing and shouts of joy, there was rejection. You can just imagine the Pharisees and those that were really against Christ saying, hey, hang on a minute, we can't have this. They're all going to him. Listen, they're following him. And that was that moment when the devil put it in their minds. Isn't it better to just kill one man and save the whole of the country? Because that's what it was all about. They didn't want any interruption from Rome at that time. They were friendly with Rome. They were doing what they were told, and Rome were laying off. But, you know, the people had their own ideas about their Messiah. He was the long-awaited one. He would be, they said, our national leader. And, you know, he'd be so great that he'd get rid of all this Roman occupation. He would come on a charger, showing everybody that he was going to win the battle. It would be a victory parade. They must have been very upset when Christ came riding a donkey. You see, God had given them their king. And they didn't see it. It's the same out there. God has given the whole creation a king, a savior. You know, sometimes we think that we're the only ones that are singing praises. We're not. The whole world, in every corner, has somebody with a Bible and somebody with a hymn book. And if we don't believe that, we might as well shut up. But, you know, people have rejected him and forgotten him at this time. They had wrong ideas about Christ. Like I've said, many people today have the wrong idea about Jesus. They only want him to be in their life on their terms. Well, that's not going to happen. We cannot use God Almighty like a phone call. You know, sometimes we have our prayers and expect him to move in about 2 minutes. We can't do that. You know, it's not like Amazon. If you place your order now, you'll get it tomorrow. It will not be delivered tomorrow. Sometimes it is, but not always. They were with the Bethany family, weren't we, last week in the message. There was a cry from the world is, you know, what are you doing for us, God? We're told about Martha and Mary and Martha chunnering about she had so much to do and Mary sitting there like nobody's business. But you know, there was Martha, wasn't there? And she said, if you had have come, my brother wouldn't have. She was chastising Jesus. If you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. And Jesus says it happened because it would be the glory for God. Questions. We're asking them all in a lifetime. But we have to remember, and it's hard to consider and take to heart, whether we like it or not, mankind, the whole planet, runs on God's timetable, not ours. Our all-knowing God did not have to send us a saviour. He didn't, you know. He could have just looked down on his creation and washed his hands on the whole lot of us and just wiped it all clean and started again. But he didn't. He didn't. Why? Because of his great love. It's Palm Sunday, a day of thankfulness, praise. You know, thankfulness that God did not leave us to our own devices. God has given us all through history time to repent, time to believe, time to love and follow him. Some have and many haven't. We all have seen, I'm quite sure, looking round, we've seen many, many Easters between us. And I believe in my heart that every one of them has spoken to your heart and mine in a different spiritual way every year. It's not been the same. Each Easter time, bringing fresh, different, soul-searching thoughts about God's great love for all of us. So as we think about Palm Sunday right now, can you hear? I can. I wanted to try and cut out the sound of the cars going by and try and imagine the donkey's hooves going through the streets, coming from Bethany, coming from the other side of the hill into Jerusalem. The hoofbeats of a donkey, the whole of Jerusalem erupting into wondrous praise and jubilation. Where the donkey went, the masses went, and there were people there to greet it. Isn't it amazing that in, I think it's only Matthew, it's only in Matthew's gospel that they take the donkey's mother with it. This donkey, it says, is on his own. And you know, when you think about it, that was to fulfill Matthew, to fulfill the Jews' teachings of old. Zechariah 9:9 says that the Prince of Peace would come riding a colt with its mother. Now, this colt had never been, rode before. Well, y'all, who's it? Hands up, who rode a donkey at Blackpool? Or wherever? Didn't we just? I can still feel my dad with his hand here to make sure I didn't slip off. And, of course, I've rode many things since then. And I rode donkeys. But now they've stopped that now, haven't they, at the signs? Because very large people were upsetting them. And I've rode horses. And one of the horses I rode many years ago was in an Arab enclosure. And they only asked me to get on this horse because I was the only one that was fully covered. I had a kaftan right down. And this young man said, do you ride? I said, I've not ridden for a bit. He said, you can ride. Yes. So I got on this. I could get up then. I got on this horse, beautiful Arab stallion. Beautiful. And I said, there's no reins. He said, no, you won't need them. But oh, wow. And this horse, at his command, did a circle of all this great field, you know. It was wonderful. And you could feel the power. And you could, when I was thinking about this, I can see Jesus on a stallion. He's a conqueror. He is a conqueror. So why is he coming on a donkey? Because a stallion would have said he'd have won because of a war. The only war the Lord had was between him and the devil. And we have to remember that. You know, there he is on a lowly donkey. He comes as a king riding a lowly donkey. He's not coming to fight. He's not coming to kill. He's coming in peace. What's going on, they said? Who is he? What's it all about? The people who thought Jesus, you know, who they thought Jesus was, were only willing to accept him on their terms. What about you and me? All the folks out there, Jesus is asking us on Palm Sunday, as he did 2,000 years ago, the question God and all heaven has been asking since. Will you, and it's in the word, will you take me as your saviour? The sad thing is, the folk then, most of them, had the wrong idea, like I said before. Like people today, they only think all the church wants is money, but they still want their worship places, and they still want them to be clean and bright and beautiful. But don't come to me. What are you going to do for me, Jesus? The Lord knew even before the donkey put his first hoof forward on that passionate route, with all the clamour and the noise, the palms and the throwing down of cloaks. He knew the outcome. Paul's already read it. He knew that in a few days he would be dead. The price on his head, the betrayal, that would come from his friend who would be paid the price of a slave. This is the beginning and the end, they believed. The Pharisees, the leaders, for a long time had set traps and it hadn't worked. You know, they were very frustrated, these fellas. But now everything would change because of an inside mole. Finally, the utmost in their hearts was to get rid of our Lord. They were eaten up with jealousy. In John 1, verse 12, it seems that the pot's already boiling over as they angrily say, look how the whole world has gone after him. They had to do something. They had to get rid of him. And it seems impossible amid all this joyous celebration of this moment. You know, it would be the rejection that would break Christ's heart. And I believe it's still broken as those today reject him, closing the door of their own hearts in his face. What do I need you for? I've got everything that the world can offer. Yet despite the rejection, Christ was determined to complete the rescue mission for all mankind. That was set in motion before the world began. It's amazing that, isn't it? Before God said, let there, it had all been planned. Someday, in glory, we're going to be able to understand that a little bit. And I say a little bit. Because after so long of reading scripture, it's still just only a little bit. You know, our Lord wept when he saw Jerusalem. The city 2,000 years ago stood proud and beautiful. And Christ saw that within 40 years there would be a destruction and the people would flee for their lives. You see, the Roman forces took no prisoners. Then, now people have no need of a father, a son, or a Holy Spirit. They shout above the crowd, "You are not real to me. I'm too busy. I have no need of you. I have my own life to lead. Go away. Leave me alone." We've heard it time and time again. Yet above all the world's clamor and hallelujahs, Christ is still asking, not just today, "Will you take me as your king?" Now, my answer was, "Where will I spend eternity?" And Christ's answer to me was, "With me or without me." But may I wish all of you a very happy and a blessed Easter. I hope to see you on Good Friday. And carry on praying for the Ukraine and all her peoples, because they certainly need it. Amen.